Hi, this is John Udell, and today's podcast is a conversation with Anders Heilsberg about Microsoft's Link project. Link stands for Language Integrated Query. It's a technology that was introduced at the Professional Developers Conference last fall and is now available in a new preview. We got together to discuss the goals of the project in general and to find out what's new in this version of the preview.
Also, good to talk to you again.
Yeah.
We're talking this time because we are this week releasing another preview of the Link project, and so we've sort of been busy since we last talked. I'd say, you know, last time we sort of put out a preview to show the vision, and this time I'd say we're showing a lot of the execution, you know, towards the Orcas product, where this will sort of see the light of day in a product for the first time.
Okay.
You pretty much grok, you know, the problem we're trying to solve with Link and the notion of teaching the execution infrastructure about queries and set operations and transformations as a first class thing, right? And that's really sort of what we're trying to do here. In .NET, you know, classes and objects are natural, but strangely, a lot of data concepts are not at all.
If you want to take some time up front, kind of, you know, laying the groundwork, and then go into what's changed, that would be great, you know, because a lot of people, you know, won't have the context.
Yeah. Okay. The sort of thing that captures what we're doing with Link here, I would say, is that we are building a effectively a unified programming model for querying and transforming and aggregating any kind of data that you would typically manipulate in a data-intensive application, so be it objects, relational, and XML. And really, the thing that's interesting, I think, is not so much that we get language-integrated syntax against your database. Well, that of course, is nice because you get statement completion and intelligence and all of these good other things, but the thing that's truly interesting is the amalgam of the different data domains and the fact that you get to write queries that you know, suck data from in-memory objects or a database and project the results as XML or vice versa. Because at the end of the day, you know, enterprise and even SMB apps and web apps and whatever, what they do is they aggregate data, right? They fetch data, they apply some intelligence to it, and they project it out to some result.
Yeah, and in a world of mashups, it's more and more the case that you're going to be joining across flavors of data source.
Absolutely.
Of different kinds, and so.
And I'm a strong believer of focusing on the programming model rather than on some store that you must put it all in. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And of course, what happens to C# and VB with Link is that they grow up and they gain native query syntax that has, I would indeed say, a superset of the expressiveness of SQL and XQuery. And it's really quite profound, I mean, because, you know, we've all gotten so accustomed to the fact that to write queries, you must write in some domain-specific language, and that's just how it is, right?
Yep.
But we're saying it's not how it is. And indeed, you know, C#, VB are now as expressive as say, SQL or XQuery. And indeed, the reason I say they're even more expressive is because what you write inside your queries, the predicate expressions or the projection expressions and whatever, of course, are computations where you want to call standard functions or code that you've written, and now you can.
Right. We've been able to do that in various ways from these other query languages, but it's, I'd say it's been more bolted on than built in.
Exactly, yeah. It's been a complicated and you know, I mean, the thing that's interesting about domain-specific query languages is that they're typically very good at queries, and then they're really very poor at everything else, right? And finally, of course, you get all of the benefits that we, you know, you've gotten accustomed to with strongly typed languages like type checking, intelligence, and even code refactoring for queries.
Right.
And then finally, yep, we have an extensibility model for that allows other languages to plug into this. Indeed, I sort of talk about it as we have a very strong separation between church and state here. The languages don't really know anything about the query infrastructure. There are just some patterns of transformations transformations that they to from query syntax to method calls, and as long as the languages do that, then everything else is completely extensible, and anyone can play in this space.
Right, and it's not just language pluggability here, but also data source pluggability. So at some point, you know, it would be good to give an indication of what it would be like to plug an unsupported data type into this framework.
When you write a query, like this guy here from CN Customers, where state equals Washington, select name, so a really simple little query. The languages effectively, if they support language integrated syntax, will then translate this into customers.where.select and pass lambda expressions to these operators. And then at that point, this is really all the language knows to do. You know, it's just to translate it into a pattern of wheres and selects and order by and group by methods that take a certain set of arguments. And then in the you know, at execution time, if the thing you're querying implements iNumerable of T, which is an interface that any collection in .NET implements, and arrays and anything basically, then we can execute the query just based on that iNumerable of T implementation, and by having the lambda expressions compile into delegates that get passed to the wheres and the selects and so forth. And this is like a super low barrier to entry. If you implement iNumerable of T, and anyone can do that with you know, blindfolded with their left hand in 30 minutes.
Well, now, you know, hang on a second. I mean, that's kind of exactly what I'm asking here, is that it's, at least to me, not at all blindingly obvious, you know, for some, you know, funky, weird, you know, database of my own devising, how I would map that onto this iNumerable interface. And so I'm just kind of curious, is there a way, you know, how would someone approach that, right, if they wanted to put those things together?
Okay. Well, let me show you here. I mean, so implementing iNumerable T itself is very, very trivial. If you have some collection that wants to, I mean, all you got to do is write an enumerator that yields out the elements one by one.
Yeah, but if you've got, you know, some non-standard kind of database engine, you want to get it mapped onto .NET collections in a way that's friendly to this architecture, then I'm sure there's a lot more to it.
So that's the next one here. Like for a higher price of entry, so to speak, you can implement an interface called iQueryable of T, and where iEnumerable of T effectively represents something that can enumerate itself, a strongly typed thing that can enumerate its elements. iQueryable of T is a strongly typed thing that can evaluate queries. And what happens here when you implement iQueryable of T is that we hand you expression trees that represent the query instead of just, you know, asking you for an enumerator and then we evaluate the query.
Right.
We give you the query.
Right.
And then you get to do exactly what you want, you know. And and this is, of course, not as simple to do, but it gives you much more capability.
Okay. So if I were mapping onto an XQuery engine, I would be implementing iQueryable.
This is the pluggable query engine, effectively, you see right here. And
has this been done, for example, in the case of XQuery at this point by anyone?
I think some of the implementations do it. I'm not particularly familiar with it, and of course it would restrict you only to XML at that point, or you would have to be able to fit the into the sort of XML data model before you get to play, right?
Yeah, I understand, but there are some powerful XQuery engines out there. One that I've used is called MarkLogic, for example. You know, so the question here would be, if I'm the MarkLogic team and I want to implement iQueryable, you know, what does that proposition look like from my perspective, right? And I guess I could ask them if they've thought about it, but you know, I'm just curious if there's a proof point as yet of something like that.
You know, not with third parties yet.
Okay.
Internally, we have built three implementations of Queryable, and more are in process.
Mm-hmm.
We have effectively, we have D-Link,
right.
you've seen before, and that I'll demo more today. And then we have, in this preview, we include an implementation of iQueryable for datasets, radio.net datasets, which is, you know, our little in-memory remotable data thingies.
Yes.
We also have an implementation for objects, which is sort of completes the picture here in a sense, and I have sort of this dotted arrow here. You can take something that implements IEnumerable T, and then you can ask to have that be represented as iQueryable T.
Mm-hmm.
Such that you can now build an application that is impervious to who resolves the query, simply by saying, my data source is an iQueryable T, and it could be anything. And then you can point your application at a relational database, so you can point it at data sets, or you can point it at in-memory objects by wrapping the in-memory objects in an iQueryable T.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you ask to evaluate some query tree you've built up, well, then D-Link will turn stuff into SQL. Data sets will use, you know, indices that it has in memory and whatever.
Right.
But our object implementation will simply go back to the IEnumerable of T and generate lightweight IL and then execute it that way.
Right.
So we sort of get closure in the system here. Now, really, the IEnumerable versus iQueryable at that point is a question of just whether you bound statically or dynamically to the IEnumerable.
Okay.
But the point with Queryable really is that you get polymorphic representation of something that can evaluate queries.
Yes. Yes. And so the question is, and we'll find out as time goes on, but the question is, from a provider perspective, are there going to be 3 or 4 of these things in the world? Are there going to be 10,
right.
15, 20 of these things in the world over
right.
time, right? And we'll just find out.
Right, right. Certainly I know that we've already seen some of our customers experiment with building wrappers around WMI that implement iQueryable, Active Directory, you know, we're talking about in-house here.
So to just back up one point here real quickly, so where you say that iQueryable is a new feature in the foundation, it's the formalization of the strategy that was
yes.
used to create D-Link and
yes,
the other.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it sort of existed, but it was not public.
Yeah. Okay.
And now we're saying, okay, we're formalizing iQueryable as the extension point for pluggable query processors and dynamic queries.
Got it.
In this release, we're also introducing support for joins, and I'll show you that in my demo. Previously, we only sort of had nested from clauses, which gave you, you know, nested for loops or the equivalent of it. Now we have formal joins. We have a bunch of additional convenience operators. In C# 3.0, the language, we have support for, so we have join syntax in queries.
Okay.
That compile into the join methods, you know, just like where and select compile into calls to where and select. So does join compile into a call to join or group join.
Okay. So from a consumer and provider perspective, both how do people then think about optimization of things like these joins?
Well, again, it depends on what you're querying. And I'll show you that in some of the demos. I mean, in if you're just going against IEnumerable of T and you do a join between two arrays, you're going to get an in-memory hash join.
Right.
Because that's the best we can do, because arrays don't have indices and so forth. If you go through iQueryable and you're going against SQL, well, then that turns into a join clause that gets sent to the database.
Right.
And the database does its optimizations.
Right.
So it depends on who processes the query, what level of optimization you get.
Okay. And so if I built my own pluggable query module, again, it would just be up to me.
Yes.
How I handled that. Okay.
Yes. And of course, one thing you can always fall back on is you can use the standard implementation that we give you for IEnumerable T that just does a hash join,
mm-hmm.
which will, you know, which effectively means you'll enumerate each collection once.
Yeah. And since being in memory is more and more a pretty good option,
yeah,
that's actually not as crazy as it sounds for a growing number of cases.
I mean, in a lot of cases, well, where else are you going to do the join, right? I mean, if the database, you could either, like, try to take your XML and insert it into a temp table in the database and do the join there.
Yeah.
Or you can suck it over. It depends which one is larger, you know. And over time, we'll put more and more intelligence into this. Right now, effectively, you decide where you do the join.
Yeah. Okay.
We also in C# 3.0 support copy and paste XML as code, and I'll show you that. And in VB9, we have some changes to the query syntax. Effectively, VB started out with select from and sort of a very, very strictly modeled after SQL syntax, and are now doing the same as C# with from select, because it's the only way you get a meaningful statement completion experience in the language. If you start your query with select, you type select space, and now what are we going to show you? You know, we have no idea what you're querying until you say the from. So by switching to from select, you know, we sort of naturally let you say what you query before you say what you're going to do with it.
Yeah.
This is by no means, you know, there's precedence here. I mean, if you look at XQuery and Flower Expressions, you know, they're all they're all going in that direction. The sort of, I would say, other interesting benefit of doing this is that operations now come in the order that they execute. This has always been the very confusing thing about SQL, is that what runs when, you know, and the notion of scope of variables. You know, in a SQL query, the scope of what you say in the from clause flows both upwards and downwards.
Okay, yeah.
Where here it flows strictly downwards now. Anyway, VB also now has support for group by, and VB, of course, supports XML literals in the language, and now also supports XML literal outlining in the code editor. So it's, you know, I tell you, VB programs are starting to look mighty, mighty much like XQuery programs.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, D-Link has a bunch of new stuff, primarily a graphical designer integrated into VS. We support inheritance, stored procedures, user-defined functions.
What do you mean by inheritance in this context?
Well, I mean that you can map relational tables onto object hierarchies, effectively, by saying, you know, here is a discriminant column that you know, in, you can map one table onto multiple classes, is effectively what we're supporting at this point.
Okay.
And in your table, if you have a discriminant column, you know, like let's say you use one table to store persons, customers, contacts, and so forth, and then you have a hierarchy that you model it with.
Mm-hmm.
And then in your table, you have a discriminant column that says what each row, what type is this row.
Mm-hmm.
And this you can now map onto an object hierarchy.
Okay.
We have multi-tier entity support. It's a sort of funky word for you can also call it detached objects or whatever, but effectively we allow you to support a very typical web scenario where you know, in one context you fetch some objects that then are sent on an HTML page to a user, and then a half hour later the user comes back with some edits to these objects.
Mm-hmm.
And now you want to sort of reestablish the context you had a half hour ago, but you don't want to refetch the objects from the database. So you want to tell D-Link that, hey, this object I'm giving you here now represents the object that you fetched previously. Now allow me to edit it, and then you can just send the update statement. So it's sort of an optimization of not having to refetch entities when you're making updates to them.
Yeah, yeah. So these are sort of complex data sets that.
Well, they're not really. It's really more, you know. So the way the OR mappings, generally speaking, work is that you have this thing that we call it a data context, but it it's effectively an in-memory table that represents all the entities that you've fetched so that we can change track them and so forth.
Yeah.
And previously, the only way to get entities in there was to either query for them or to add new ones that are supposed to be inserted in the database.
Right.
And we've added a third way now that says you can new up an entity, and then you can attach it to the context.
Okay.
And that means, to the context, it means, oh, I'm just going to pretend that this entity was fetched.
Yeah.
And now if you make changes to it, I'm going to track those changes, and then I'm going to send an update statement. But I'm not going to first send a select statement to fetch it, because you already told me about it.
Okay. So you better not lie, but yeah.
Yeah, oh, exactly. but this turns out to be an important scenario to optimize for the web. Anyway, so a bunch of things in D-Link. And finally, in X-Link, we support annotations and streaming. And that we have link over data sets supported in this preview. So a bunch of fit and finish stuff here, I would say, and sort of bringing it closer towards final productization.
Is there as yet a relationship now between X-Link and the XML query capabilities in SQL Server? Is there a mapping there? Because I think a lot of people thought originally when they saw X-Link that's what that was, and
it
wasn't at first.
Well, there's certainly some connection, but not a deep connection, and over time that connection will for sure grow deeper.
Mm-hmm.
But we do support, you know, the ability for you to map an XML column in the database to an X-Link X element when you're using D-Link to map your database.
Okay.
But we will not currently remote the queries that you write against that guy.
Right.